I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2 as our point of departure. Genesis chapter 2. And I want to just read the first three verses that make reference to the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Words are not wasted in the Word of God. Psalms 12, I believe it is, and in verse 7, I'm going to just, verse 6, pardon me. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Every word that God had the prophets pin down was examined seven times by God. That's working over the word. Each word is significant. And when we read that God sanctified the seventh day, it meant and made it a special day. It's something that we need to take a look at. And the seventh day, as far as I'm concerned, and it's what I have been reading, or my study of the Scriptures, is not Sunday. The seventh day is actually Saturday. And there are many churches today that worship on Saturday, and they keep the Sabbath, and they keep the Old Testament Sabbath, so to speak. But Paul told us to, in Romans, that there are brothers that esteem one day more than another, and there are brothers that esteem every day alike. And I do, and I am of the brethren that are persuaded that we need to live every day the same. In fact, it says in the last days that men will be judging us because of Sabbaths and holy days and new moons and feasts and all the paraphernalia that goes on in many churches today. But we find that when we study the Scriptures, like in Exodus chapter 31, it says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." The Sabbath was a sign between whom? God and the nation of Israel. We are not the nation of Israel. We are not the nation of Israel. That was a covenant relationship between God and the nation of Israel. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Ben read a passage of Scripture this morning out of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Isn't that something? Be not ignorant of this. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Hopefully, when we leave, we won't be ignorant of what it means as one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Psalms 90, verse 12, tells us and teaches us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, I don't think this passage of Scripture is telling us to make sure that when we get 65 that we will have our retirement in place. That might be an application. But I think that what he's telling us in Psalms 90 and verse 12 is we need to see when the Lord's coming is drawing nigh. For your information, we're living in the sixth day. We're waiting for the seventh day to arrive. And when you get right down to it, the year 2000 begins actually the seventh millennium since creation. And so we're very close to the end of the sixth day, or the 6,000th year. We're very close to the end of that. And so, if we number our days and we know that the Lord is coming, we're going to make what? Are we going to say the Lord delayeth his coming? It's time to eat, drink, and to be merry and have a good time and sow a few wild oats before he gets here so that we can repent just before he gets here and get everything all straightened out, get saved, all that stuff right at the nick of time so we can really have a good time. I guess there's some people that are living just like that. But anyway, Luke tells us in 21, verses 33 through 39, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, or excess, things, drunkenness, not just booze, power, success. You can be, there are many things you can be drunk on. And the cares of this world, that has to do with the environment. Save the whales. I'm not in favor of killing all the whales off, okay, so don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying there are better things to invest your time in, and that's what the Lord is saying. The cares of this life. So that that day come upon you unawares. What day? The seventh day. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The world is not looking for the seventh day. Wow, we're planning to set up a campsite on Mars soon, right? Within the next 30 years. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us, beginning with verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. This is why the Word of God says, don't be ignorant that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That seventh day is coming. The world isn't looking for it. And we can be distracted by drunkenness, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this life can cause us to be distracted from numbering our days and knowing the Lord is at hand. To show you the significance of that, of the days being 1,000 years, in Mark chapter 2, and it's also in Matthew, but it says, after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up in a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. After 6 days. What day is after 6 days? The seventh day. What happened when Jesus took them up on a mountain or into the heavenlies, if you please? He was transfigured before them. His glory was revealed. The seventh day is when the glory of Jesus Christ will be revealed to the whole earth, and he will rule and reign from the heavens with a select group like Peter, James, and John. In fact, it says in verse 5 of Mark 9, and Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Obviously. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The Old Testament says that Elijah will come before the seventh day. Elijah will be here. Moses will be here. They'll be here during the tribulation period. I don't think I'll see them. I don't think you will see them. But anyway, the tabernacles was the last feast in Leviticus 23, and it relates to the last of the harvest. The last of the harvest. And remember, the harvest will take place. Who was the first fruits? Jesus Christ and those who were caught up together with Him when He was raised from the dead. The rapture, and then the gleanings at the end of the tribulation period. And the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, is the last of the harvest. In Matthew chapter 19, in verse 28, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that he which hath followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he shall also sit on the 12 tribes, judging the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the transfiguration. This is what is referred to as the regeneration, when Jesus Christ will be in his glory. Now, what should we be doing knowing that we are living in the sixth day? What is the significance of the sixth day? Well, Exodus tells us in chapter 16, in verse 22, it says, "It shall come to pass on the sixth day, they gather twice as much bread, two omers for one man." And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. In verse 29 of Exodus 16, it says, "See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days." You know what you can do on the sixth day? You can get a double portion of manna. What is manna? This is my manna. We're living in the day when we are getting more of the Word of God than we could have gotten 1,000 years ago. I'd say 10 years ago. I was just talking to the men in the Sunday school class this morning. With my computer, I am finding things that I could not have possibly have found 15 years ago. What did Daniel say? In Daniel chapter 12, when men run to and fro over the earth, it says that knowledge shall what? Increase. Well, obviously knowledge of the scientific world has increased. There's no reason why the knowledge of the Word of God has not increased, and it has. Well, let's go on. Double portion. Now, in Mark chapter 15, in verse 42, it says, "Now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath." The sixth day is known as the day of what? Preparation. If we number our days, and we know that we're living in the sixth day, what are we going to be preparing ourselves for? Yesterday? No. We're going to be preparing ourselves for the day that's coming. If you don't go out and get a double portion of the Word of God, you're going to be hungry on the seventh day. You're going to be without on the seventh day. And there are plenty of people going to be starving. Poor folks. In the seventh day, or during the millennium. Because we're living in the day of preparation, God has provided enough for us to sustain us a double portion. Another thing that we can find, not only is there a references to sixth day or the seventh day, but there's also a reference to 2 days. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, the Lord is saying, "I will go and return to my place till they," that is, the nation of Israel, "acknowledges their offense." This is a prophecy referring to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and rejection of Him as their Messiah. Not necessarily in that order. In fact, it isn't in that order. They rejected Him as Messiah and crucified Him. And it says, "And they will seek my face," when? in their affliction. And it says they will seek me early. What is the affliction referred to in this passage of Scripture? It's the tribulation period. Hosea 6, chapter 1, Hosea 6, verse 1, the nation of Israel is going to say, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." It's nothing, it's really neat to see that the tribulation makes the heart of the nation of Israel soft toward God, but it makes the heart of man hard toward God. It makes the nation of Israel repent of their sin, and it makes the world to grow hardened. They will continue stealing drugs, murders, and sexual appetite, even though the wrath of God kills millions of people. But anyway, verse 2 of Hosea 6, "After 2 days, he will revive us in the third day." What is this a reference to? Well, how many days has it been since Jesus left to go to his place? 2 days, 2,000 years. He has been gone nearly 2,000 years. And it says, in the third day, he will raise us up. You remember what Ezekiel saw in the valley of dry bones? And the Lord said, "Prophesy to those bones." And the Lord prophesied, says, "You bring those bones out of their graves and into their land." That happens on the third day. We've seen the budding of the fig tree. That happened in May of 1948. And it says the generations that sees the budding of the fig tree will not pass away before all those things in Matthew 24 comes to pass. So, some of you weren't seeing very well in May of 48. I was seeing, but I wasn't seeing very, you know, I don't know how old I was, but I was old enough. I was in school. Anyway, so, now, when you read about Lazarus in the New Testament, in verse 6 of chapter 11, "When he," that is Jesus, "had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days." He abode 2 days. And then he went to Lazarus' house, and it was the fourth day, because they said, "Hey, look, he's smelling by now. Don't go running up there to that grave." And Jesus said, "I've got something to show you. Israel is going to be raised after 2 days." Lazarus is a picture of the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Now, he didn't have the glory that the saints will have. He was still covered in rags. and he needed some help. But anyway, now, this is another interesting thing that we can observe. Remember when Jesus left Judea to go to Galilee in John chapter 4? He says, "I must needs go through," where? Samaria. You know who lived in Samaria? The descendants of Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Israel. He married whom? A lady in Egypt. And her name was what? Come on. Asenet? Yeah, I wasn't sure of the pronunciation of that word, because I'm preaching off my cuff and it's already faded. Anyway, the significance of that is this. Asenet was a Gentile, and the Samaritans were Gentiles in picture or type. And Jesus left Judea, which is the religious leaders of the Jews and was headed to Galilee, which was the poor folks of the nation of Israel, the ones who were last. But he went through Samaria. And it says in chapter 4 of John, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Her testimony made the Gentiles, half Jew, half Gentiles, or the Gentiles, to believe who he was, which testified. And he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode how long? 2 days. That wasn't just an accidental thing. Jesus has been going to the Gentiles for how long? 2,000 years. And it says, after 2 days, in verse 43, he departed thence and went into Galilee. He went back to the nation of Israel after he called out a people for his name from the Gentiles. Isn't it neat how the Word of God fits together so that you can see the plan of the ages and what is taking place today? In Revelation 20, beginning with verse 2, it says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him a day." How long will Satan be bound? 1,000 years. "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut up, and set a seal on him, that he should not deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their forehead, or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ a day." How long? 1,000 years. What day is this day that they will be ruling and reigning with him? The seventh day. That's the day. We're not ruling and reigning with him now. We're in the sixth day. We'll know when the seventh day comes. We'll be gone. And we'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be kings and lords, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of whom? Lords. And the King of whom? Kings, plural. Now, verse 5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the best resurrection." The word first here can be translated best. To rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years is the best resurrection. That's what's being referred to here. Or the better resurrection. Remember, the people refused to be delivered in Hebrews chapter 11, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They refused to be delivered from torture and so forth. Now, verse 6 tells us, "And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the best resurrection." By the way, this word best here, or first, is used when the prodigal son came home. And he said, the father said to his servants, "Go and get the best robe off the rack." Sort of a rough translation. Does that mean that he went in and took the first robe off the rack and brought it out? No, it means that he went through there and got the best robe off the rack and brought it out to the prodigal. That's the word, that's the meaning, and that is exactly the same word. It's also translated chief in priority. The chief men of the city. It's the same Greek word. Now, "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with Christ," or reign with him, "one day, 1,000 years. Now, a reference is made to that day in Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to read beginning with verse 1 in Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest, a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. Now this is not the same gospel of getting saved. The children of Israel were coming out, the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. They were already saved, and the gospel they heard was there was a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. That was the good news to the nation of Israel. It wasn't the plan of salvation, okay? Because every time you hear the word gospel, you think of the plan of salvation. That's not the way it is. That's not rightly dividing the word of God. There is the manifold gospel. There's many parts of the gospel. Now, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. What were they preaching? There's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. We sing about heaven this morning, didn't we? We sing about heaven this morning. But you know, people sing about heaven are making no preparations for heaven. Because you need to mix it with faith. When you hear the message, what does it mean to mix it with faith? It means that faith has got to be a part of it, because without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So if you expect to enter the promised land or the land flowing with milk and honey, you better believe God. You better have faith. You better be pleasing Him. And we know right off the bat that most of the children of Israel who left Egypt didn't go in. In fact, Moses didn't please him, did he? All that Moses got to do was to look over into the land of Canaan. Now, verse 3, for which we have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This expression right here, finished from the foundation of the world, is a reference to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 25. Come, ye blessed of my Father, and enter the kingdom of heaven prepared from the foundation of the world. That's what that reference is made of. In verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. You want to know what that word means? What that means? That God rested on the seventh day from all of his works? It meant that he blessed that day as it looks forward to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It wasn't God taking a rest. It wasn't God taking a nap. He had set that day apart as the seventh day, as a special day for his Son. His Son would be glorified. And it was a day that we need to respond to in the sixth day more than any other day, in a sense. That's the significance of saying that God rested on the seventh day. I'll tell you, we aren't going to be resting a whole lot during the millennium. I'll tell you, when you are over one of the tribes of Israel, and you know the difficulties of the nation of Israel are, the 12 apostles are going to have their work cut out for them. Well, human nature, it doesn't go away in the millennium, okay? Just the appetite. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8 and through 11. For if Jesus or Joshua, that is a reference to Joshua, in the land of Canaan, and remember the land of Canaan had to be won. The seventh day has to be won. You have to fight battles to win it. And who is our enemy today? It's not flesh and blood, it's whom? Principalities and powers where? Where we want to be. The kingdom of the heavens. We are fighting demons and Satan's hosts where we will one day rule and reign from. We're going to take those positions that they hold. If we will prepare ourselves for them. For if Joshua had given them rest, then Would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest. This word rest is an interesting word. It means Sabbath rest. A seventh day rest. You see the significance of the seventh day? There remaineth a Sabbath rest. Some people want to apply that today, but it is not today. It's for the age that's coming. And it's for the people. It remains. It's coming. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What should we be doing in these last days? Gathering manna. Is that easy to do? Uh-uh. The Lord told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat thy what? Bread. Just like it takes sweat and sometimes blood to earn a living, let me tell you, it takes sweat and time and effort. Now, I didn't prepare this message in 15 minutes. I got a computer, but I didn't punch a button and this message come out in 15 minutes. Or at the press of a button. There is sweat. Not so much in my house, but I have air conditioning. That helps. But you understand what I'm saying. It takes work to study the Word of God. It takes faithfulness on our part. Doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's where faith enters in. What we are doing, we need to mix it with faith. What does that mean? We need to trust God and believe God and be like Joshua and Caleb. We can take that mountain. We can take that land. Not saying, oh, we can't do it. Those guys are too big for us. They're too tough. You know? They're giants in the land. Let me tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. What confidence do we have because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our High Priest? May we not be ignorant that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. We're living in that sixth day, the day of preparation. Let's make preparation by being faithful to the Lord today. We'll be prepared with a double portion of manna in the age to come. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. How it encourages us to be faithful to thee today. Lord, help us to lay aside drunkenness and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the security that we have in money, knowing that our help cometh from the Lord. He is the one who made heaven and earth. He is the one who never sleeps. He is the one who keeps our feet from slipping. Lord, help us to put our trust in Thee and not in the things of this world. We are thankful, Lord, that we know that our redemption draweth nigh, that Jesus Christ is coming again. We know the harvest is at hand. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to build booths, tabernacles. For the glory of the kingdom is not too far away. Thank you again for your presence with us and the blessing of your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.